there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. Now, when you say Louis, you might think of Louis Walsh, Louis Spence, Louis Tomlinson, even Louis XIV, the sun god. But to me, there is only one Louis, and he's flying Alan Air today. He's a BAFTA-winning documentary maker, an award-winning podcaster, and his brilliant new book, Through the Keyhole, has kept me very much entertained through Christmas and this miserable January. What a guest. Please welcome on board Louis Theroux. Final boarding call for Louis Theroux. Louis Theroux, final boarding call. Oh, sorry, that should be Theroux. Final boarding call for Louis. Thank you. Hello, welcome on board. It's the Dame Vera Lynn of podcasting, Louis Theroux. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for adopting my self-appointed moniker. I invented that phrase, Dame Vera Lynn of lockdown podcasting, a bit like Michael Jackson when he announced that he was the king of pop.
Oh, yes.
Remember that? If they're not going to say it about you, say it about yourself.
I've got a bone to pick with you already about your book.
Go on.
Oh, I'm going to get a signed copy.
Is it about the signature?
Yes. I mean, look at that. I mean, really, why bother? Look, it's like
that's one of the better ones.
Has crawled through some black ink and then just died on the page.
I won't tell you how many I signed because it'll make it sound less special. But it was a long afternoon and...
then you got writer's cramp by the time that... I mean, this must have been the last one you saw. I mean, you haven't even bothered.
I like to think of my wrist as being fairly well exercised. But even this put a strain on them to the point where it was becoming something like a flat line by the end.
Yeah.
But you know what? I did do it. You hear about celebrities, Alan. We live in the celebrity sphere, you and I. And you hear about our peer group... getting other people. I've heard about people getting runners to sign their autographs for them.
Oh.
I won't name names, but I've heard about, you know, you sign, you know, fan clubs where I want a signature, please. Mm. And they don't sign it themselves. So I signed every one of those. So you be grateful.
No,
less
I
of that. You're kidding yourself on a bad foot.
I know. I feel like I've soured, though. But listen, because you know what you're saying? I wore, what's the one? It's not Dickinson's Real Deal. It's the other one. Someone came in with some Beatles memorabilia. Yeah. And then they had to break it to them. The secretaries used to sign John Lennon's and Paul McCartney. They were heartbroken. They thought this was the nest egg. They're like, well, I can like retire tomorrow. Yeah. And then, no, I'm afraid, Gene in accounts. Yeah. Signed John Lennon.
Which would probably still be worth something.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
I'd buy it. I'd take that over a real Louis Theroux signature any day of the week.
Well, let's hope Jean put a bit more effort into hers. But we're talking about Farouk the Keogh, Diaries of a Grounded Documentary Maker. It's so good.
Oh, thank you.
But you know what? Can I just say?
Please.
I read it, obviously, the last week and so, and then that epilogue at the end where you're like, yeah, you know, we've been through something very special. Mm. Let's look forward. And yeah. I just feel like it's all starting again.
It's come back. I don't know whether to be, you know, obviously it's horrendous that we're going through this new surge.
Yeah.
In the intro, I actually talk about the possibility that the book will be made irrelevant by the onset of a new variant.
Yeah.
And I talk about a Sigma variant that comes back looking like David Bowie. And because he's a famous shapeshifter and the virus has this shapeshifting quality.
Yes.
So obviously I got the Greek letter wrong.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, well, and I got the fact that it doesn't look like Bowie, I don't think.
No.
The Omicron. But yeah. But the fact is I did allow for the possibility, and here we are, in a horrible, ghastly, I should even say this, but I'm going to say it. So it's given the book a kind of, you know, the good news is it's given the book a kind of fresh relevance.
Yes, yes.
Because we're still in the, you know, the book is about the madness of the 2 years that we've been through, and it's specifically seen from the worm's eye view of a family going crazy.
Yes, yes.
And kids going feral in northwest London. Yeah. And once we started to come out of it, like a month or so ago, it felt like we were kind of back.
Yeah,
back to normal.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. And now we're back in it, and I think if people are feeling like they want to commiserate and share the load, the pain, that's sort of what the book can do, I think.
What I really enjoyed about it was we were all having the same lockdown. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like Joe Wicks, excessive drinking.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Those were my
vegetable lasagnas.
Vegetable lasagnas. Hiding in the kitchen. Friday night. What are we going to do? Have a drink.
Yeah.
Saturday night, what about tonight? How about another drink? Monday. And then a lot of arguing, obviously. Yeah. And I've tried to, I don't think, clearly I'm a privileged person in many respects. I've got a great career. I'm successful. I don't worry about financial stuff. And I've got a great family. But like everyone, I suppose, under the skin, I've got a lot of anxieties and things that, yeah, that I do kind of preoccupy me. And what I was conscious of, if I'm going to bring anything to the table of this conversation about COVID, it's got to be honesty, and honesty about what it's been like for us.
Yeah.
And I pared it back a bit because I didn't want to embarrass my wife and kids. I tried to not pare it back.
Long-suffering Nancy, as
poor
I call
Nancy.
Her.
She's...
I mean, there's one bit where you think you're going to have a bit of How's Your Father, and then you come back and she's turned the light off and put the thing. I mean,
she's
you're
got her
very
eye mask on.
Eye mask.
That's a giveaway.
On. Yes, yes.
In certain contexts, that could be a little bit shades of grey. You can be like, you know, oh, I'll put my mask on. Now tickle me with the feather. It wasn't one of those moments.
No, it was, hey, sexy written on the front
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. Paul Daniels once told me that, it's in his autobiography, nice segue. He came home and Debbie McGee was lying on the bed with her eyes closed and an eye mask on, that's right. And there were two written, I think either on a piece of paper or maybe a post-it note or maybe just on her person, was do not disturb and an arrow pointing at her face.
Oh.
And then a bit lower down it said disturb and an arrow pointing south. True story. That's in his autobiography.
So why could she feel nothing in the top? Is it because she's been sawed in half by so many times that she's actually numb from the waist down?
That's a great, yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Maybe
scar
she
tissue.
Can't fit your scar.
The unkind construction would be like she wants to imagine that it's not Paul Daniels. Right?
Not a lot.
Anyway, I didn't do anything that risque.
No, and my book
draws a veil over the more carnal side of life.
Well, yeah, we don't want to read about do we?
Yeah, no one needs to envision me with my glasses on, peering. Anyway, stop there.
No, stop it now. This
stop
is a
there.
Family podcast.
But actually, life was complicated in lockdown. We you know, there's a lot of arguing, a lot of stress, and I tried to level, you know, there's moments where she sends in texts saying, you know, what are you doing? You're drunk, you're a mess, you're over the place. And, you know, fair play. Most of the time I was.
I think lockdown was quite exposing for some celebrities, because you talk about, like, you imagined, remember that? And then you had, like, celebrities, like, really quite condescendingly telling you how to wash your hands.
That's right. And one of them, didn't one of them say, was it Ellen DeGeneres? I feel bad even putting her name out there.
Oh, prison. She said it was a prison. And behind her, you've got, like, this amazing swimming pool and you look over the Pacific.
She wasn't even in a small room, like the optics, as they say. Like, don't have a vast expanse of real estate stretching out behind you when you're emotional, saying I'm in a prison.
It just doesn't
look good.
I think some of them had to back up a bit, and I mean, we all got a little bit blitz spirit, didn't we? I mean, I did some Instagram vid, and then I thought, no one really wants.
Did you send out a message saying, "What? Come on, people, keep your spirits up."
Well, yeah, we all sort of felt I had to muck in, really, but then I realised I don't think people really want to hear me just chatting away. And then you've got that counter going down as you're talking.
What, you only had a certain amount of time.
Well, no, no, the viewing figures. You start going, well, and then you're like, oh my God, because it's like it started at 1,500, it's like down to 20, and I'm like, oh shit, shit.
I know. Well, it's like the Joe Wicks. We all wanted to believe that it would be a life-changing moment for the nation. And I was there that day in March when it was day two or day three. It was up around 1 million. It was north of 900,000 people tuning in live. Mm. It was extraordinary. And then I write, because I kept up. I did my Joe Wicks this morning.
First trap photo.
Did you?
First trap. I was like, woof, who's this?
I love that phrase. First trap. I love that.
Had you heard it before?
I'd heard thirsty, like a thirsty tweet or I hadn't had thirst trap.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, amazing.
I was trapped. I felt quite claustrophobic when I saw it. It's like being in a sexy snare.
People may not know. So I shared a photo. So the Joe Wicks point was that then in August later in the year, when we were on our ninth lockdown or whatever, and his viewing figures had gone down to about 10,000, but he was still there going, look, can we check? Look how many we got tuning in. 10,000. As though nothing had gone wrong. He hadn't lost 95% of the audience. But I'm still doing it. And yesterday, Alan, thank you for picking me up on it, I shared an Instagram. It's the first time I've ever done a topless Instagram post. I'm not huge on Instagram. Once in a while, I do a selfie just to sort, you know, try and keep people, maintain some relevance to the under 50s, under 30s, whatever. And so yesterday, I'd done my workout and I thought, you know what? Here I am looking sweaty.
Yeah.
I don't wear a shirt when I'm doing my workout.
No.
So I did a selfie and I thought, I'll share.
You're looking good, love. You're looking
I'm trying to get a little viral action going.
Yeah. You want to post it now? We'll disturb this.
You'd struggle to get it stick with the sweat level.
Yeah, you were quite sweaty.
That'd be quite a job.
Good afternoon, passengers. This is your captain speaking. First, I'd like to welcome everyone on Alan Air Flight 86A. We are currently cruising at an altitude of 33,000 feet at an airspeed of 400 miles per hour.
This is a travel podcast. Now, I bet everyone at home going, well, how can you travel? But you're lucky you can travel with work.
Yeah.
So there's two kind of places. You went to Balos.
Yeah, I did.
Which is one of the most photographed places in Crete. Am I right?
That's
most
right.
Beautiful.
Very
it looks
lovely.
Stunning.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. There's a lagoon there. Well, and in fact, I was in Chania. Balos was a day trip. I was in the wonderful Cretan port town of Chania for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks last year, this year and last year.
Yeah.
Crete seemed to be fairly relaxed, or maybe they just weren't getting it that badly. They had an open door policy for at least a couple of months over the last 2 years, and we availed ourselves of that open window.
Yeah, well, I don't bloody blame you.
Went out there.
I read it's one of Princess Diana, obviously when she was alive, and Prince Charles's favourite beaches. Now, did you find, was there like Cafe Diana?
Balos was, really?
Yeah, they would always go there on a yacht. Was there any like Cafe Diana, Cafe Charles? Because they love all that. Because even around the corner where I live, I think Diana popped in there once for a baguette, and it's now called Cafe Diana.
There you
and
go. That's a blue plaque right there.
I know.
No,
did you get any whiff that she'd been
there?
No,
I didn't even know she'd ever been there. Was no for some reason. There's no footprint. No,
they love all that, doesn't they?
Yeah. Well, do they? Do they? Do they love all that? What does that mean?
I don't know why. I mean, there's these tiny... Look at Bridget Bardot
going
to Santa Fe.
Who's they in that sentence?
Foreigners. No. No. I mean, You know, places where they're there, they're making like baguettes and like Greek salads, and then this super yacht comes in with Diana and Charles.
It would be a life-changing moment.
I would be talking about it till the end of time.
Yeah.
I would.
As would I. I don't know how to account for...
I'm not blaming you for this. Not, I just thought, oh my God, I bet there is, because Saint-Tropez has Brigitte Bardot. She created Saint-Tropez, and there's like Café Brigitte. Oh, the Brigitte.
I don't know what to tell you, Alan. I don't even remember any cafes at Balos. I do know that Crete has been the unlikely nursery of many talents, including Nana Mouskouri.
Which people say I look like. The Rose of Athens.
Yeah. No, I hadn't thought about it. But,
thank you.
But when you think of,
let me something. Just get my caftan on and get the whole...
She had a beautiful voice. Has.
And a pretty face. Thank you.
So they've got a lot of... There's a lot of celebrities, a lot of talented writers. Maybe Diana, maybe... Didn't he cause huge ripples? I would have thought she would do.
Yeah, I mean, she's Diana, isn't she? Yeah. Queen of Arts.
It makes me feel... It's bittersweet, in a way, when the idea of Charles and Diana on holiday together, one imagines they weren't always happy occasions.
No, I know.
Perhaps they had a nasty argument and the cafe felt, well, we can't put a plaque up about this. People will ask questions.
This is eggy. I know where I want to go to. Hydra, have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah, my mum goes there every year.
Tell me. I mean, everyone who goes there goes... No, are you joking?
No, I'm serious, but I've never been myself, yeah.
But don't you want to go, that Leonard Cohen? Everyone Leonard goes Cohen there and connection. Goes insane.
I'm sure all the Greek islands have something special. They pronounce it Hydra.
Oh.
I don't know. Hydra, Hydra...
Well, I don't even pronounce English words how they should. So, I mean, Greek, forget it.
But there's Hydra. No cars there, right? Mm-hmm. But I've never... I can't... So Crete, if I can sell Crete, is the most wonderful place to go on holiday. Mm. I know it's going to sound cliche. The people are so friendly.
I know you have to say that, but it's true.
It's not pretentious. It's not expensive. It's got amazing... It's a kind of magical place because it's got mountains that piercing like snow-capped mountains in the winter, and they plunge down to the sea. Mm. And it's a relatively, you know, it's a big island, but, you know, in Greek terms, but it's not a massive place.
No.
And so you've got this, all these, you've got the trees, you've got winding ravines, you've got your beaches, you've got a little bit of everything. And the most marvellous food, delicious Greek food in general, obviously, is amazing, but you've got your seafood, it's got everything.
Because when you come back from Greece, you think, oh, my God, I'm going to make a Greek salad. Because I'd eat Greek salads every day over there. And then you come back and then you've got your bit of... And then our tomatoes are so small.
The tomatoes don't taste of tomatoes for the most part. Anyway, we sound like a couple of old men.
I know. We need to...
Remember back in our day. Remember when they had little brown paper bags in the green grocery?
Oh.
And they'd pull them off a string.
Two and six, weren't they? Two and six.
And they'd twist them around like that. They'd spin their hands. There was no plastic bags.
No.
And the old ladies would come in with their little wheelie bags.
I have one of those, though.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
Yeah.
It's not like it was when we was young.
No.
Welcome to EasyJet, darling. All right, what do you want? Panini? One out of two. Here you go, love. There you go. Two paninis. You've got a lovely face. I'll knock a pound off. There you go. What do you want? A scratch card? Lovely. Here's your scratch card, love. There you go. Oh, might be lucky. You never know. Get in the back of the queue, you.
Now, this is what I can't get my head around. Now, listen, I know you said, obviously, with your kids and you document about the kids.
Yeah.
They listen to drill.
Yes, they do. As do I.
What the fuck? Drill. What? I mean, I've tried.
Have you tried?
And SoundCloud rap, that's called mumble rap.
Can be, yeah. A lot of it is, yeah. And that's not so big now. But actually, the drill scene and the UK grime and drill scene is massive. And if you listen to, for some reason, I feel BBC loyal. I should mention Radio 1 Extra. We can't get it in the car, so we end up listening to a lot of Capital Extra, which is the London grime and drill station. And
does Nancy like grime?
She's pretty open-minded about music. she wouldn't be her first choice.
You're making out I'm closed-minded.
On a Sunday, that's for you to decide. Look into your heart. What do you see there? Is it frightening? Sounds like a Kylie Minogue song.
Yeah, now that's more my kind of oeuvre.
You know, on the weekend, there's quite often a battle between, is it going to be Radio 2? Who is it? Johnny Walker on Sunday afternoon does Sounds of the 70s.
Yeah.
Which I love. But then from the back seat where the kids are, it's like, what is this drivel? you know, can you turn off this Bob Lennon?
Oh, yes, that's in the book as well.
And I can't, what do you want to listen to more Bob Lennon for? And then they want to turn on the, you know, it's Dig Dat or Digga D or... Yeah.
What's the one called Pooey? Pooey someone and Dutty Wap? Feppy Wap?
Fetty Wap. I mean, I don't know a rapper called Pooey.
It's in your book. There's someone called Pooey.
Pooey Lentils.
Unless someone
don't try and find it. You won't. But
no, I mean, so, yeah.
Fetty Wap is an American rapper, but the grime and drill, I don't know. Listen, you can't sell music to someone, but I do enjoy it. I enjoy what I get from a lot of it is lyrical content. It's not just good music, but a sort of feeling of. Though I was listening to one last night. It was an outfit called Potter Paper. Have you heard of him? I don't know if it's a man or a group. Embarrassing. But the rap was about being banged up in prison, doing birds, getting out, friends not speaking to you. And you think, like, Michael, maybe this... I don't know if that was the... It was a guest on it. But the point is, you're listening to it and you're listening to someone's life and extraordinary... reporting about about just this.
Well, that's what you
things.
Do with your documentaries,
yeah,
isn't
like.
It?
That's
yes.
what I like to hear about. So, give me something real. Talk to me. And it's like the book. Give me don't sugarcoat it. Just tell me something real. Tell me about your pain.
Yeah.
Tell me about the darkness and the angst.
Isn't that funny? I never really realised. I went, why would he listen to this shite? But then actually, now you say their document is from that. It's real. It's intense.
Real. It's intense. It's quite frightening.
This is how old-fashioned I am. I didn't think by law you could tattoo someone's face, but you clearly can.
Yeah.
I thought
tattoo someone's face on your body.
No, you know that people have facial tattoos.
I thought you meant like because there's people with my face tattooed on them, but that's not what you were saying. You're saying
that you're joking.
Yeah, but no, but your point was that on your own face.
Yes, I thought.
Well, kids can't, can they? Children.
No, I thought it was illegal.
Illegal. Why would it be illegal?
If I wanted to say I love drill,
you can't
on
do
my
it against their will. Like I couldn't.
I know that.
Your
I'm not. Where do you think I'm holding someone down in a tattoo parlor? I love Alan Carr now. Do it. Calm down, Mum. Do it. No, but I'm surprised with so much facial tattoos. But then I'm old. Yeah. I'm old school now.
That's
I have old values.
Now. Hipsters do it. A facial tattoo is relatively mainstream now.
I know. Would you ever have one?
Have
you got any tattoos?
Never say never. I don't have any. I've been thinking as I get older. I've been thinking about getting some.
Oh, okay.
Have you got any?
No. I can't think of anything that. And I see what's now because I love me mum and me dad. But yeah. I mean, I feel like I love mum on me arm. It's not that. It's a bit crap.
It's a bit basic.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to be basic.
I think the thing as well is that if you tattoo your body, and this is what's been holding me back, is the feeling that. It's like, oh, my body's so impressive, I'm going to ornament it further. Mm. Like, people who get away with tattoos... I mean, this sounds a bit judgy, but it's often a sculpted person, isn't it? Or a particularly attractive... Because you want to show off how good you look. Yeah. And I've never felt like I had the right real estate.
Well, you
to
need to look at that photo you just posted,
maybe
love. Oh, my God, that's crying out for a tattoo. Because I do worry about Cheryl Cole. She's got those roses on her bum. And I'm just like, love, when you're 60, that's going to be like two hanging baskets.
She listens to your podcast.
I love Cheryl, but I'm just saying. I mean, you have to... Because I think this is how far I worry ahead. I feel like, you know, and obviously when we're all dead and stuff, but all these fillers and stuff, skeletons are going to look fucking weird.
I thought you were going to say hot. Sexy skeletons.
Skeletons will still be fit.
Yeah, you'll have skeletons. You'll be like, whoa, look at that.
Whoa, these embalmers were like, woof. Look at those cheekbones. that needle's really sharp. That's not Alan, that's anal.
I would get a tattoo. It's one of the things, it's on my bucket list.
Yeah, you should do
it,
I think.
A sleeve, get a whole sleeve, don't mess around.
Wow.
The other one is getting the glasses removed.
I thought you said tattooed on your face.
Yes, so you don't need them. Well, in a way I am, because I'm saying, like, if I didn't have glasses, like, if you got your eyes fixed, then I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
losing your glasses, blah, blah, blah. Just get LASIK or whatever it's called. And then people said, well, Nancy said, like, but that's your brand. I think that my wife's worrying about my brand, right? Like, yeah. What about me as a human? Can you see me as a human?
Yeah.
But hey. She's like, your whole brand is like that you've got glasses. And I'm like, I'm not a brand, I'm me. You know, but then maybe if you got them tattooed on.
Yes, and have surgery. You know, let me book you in now to get that done, because it's such a good idea.
Have you never thought about that, Alan, like getting your eyes done?
Well, can I tell you something? My mum is, she's the kind of woman that, you know, on a plane, oh my God, we're all going to die. Roller coasters, oh my God, upping an escalator, she's like getting an inhaler, oh my God, the escalator's going to collapse. She went in and had her eyes lasered. Yeah. And I'm like, Mum, to me, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you hear a little bit of burning, but I know something will go wrong.
You hear the burning, you probably smell it. The smell of your eyeballs burning.
No, you know what I mean? And like, because I've had offers to have my teeth done, you know, you got the celebrity smile, and I'm like,
really?
Well, I think it's like closing the door after the horse has bolted, really, isn't it?
Oh,
I mean, I like glasses, but as you say in the book about the old steaming up with a mask.
Yeah.
You see?
That was part of it as well. In lockdown, it's been so annoying. I don't think people who don't have glasses realise what we've gone through with mask wearing. The level of, you know, stumbling around a supermarket, unable to see anything.
Well, there's nothing to buy anyway because everyone's fucking hoarded.
Yeah.
Sorry, hoarded.
I was waiting for that sentence to make sense. Hoarded. O-R-D-I-D.
Oh, please. Please. When people go to America, we always go to the nice places. Has your documentary sort of stopped you enjoying America? Because you go there, then you go to like a psychiatric unit, a prison, you hang around pedos. Where we like, yeah, the beach, let's go to the beach. You're like, oh, look, prison,
I love my work and the reason I do it is because it gives me access to extraordinary places and almost like speed dating, you get this extraordinary intimacy that happens very fast because you turn up and you're in San Quentin prison or you're on a porn set or at a swingers party, right? Or a maximum security mental hospital for paedophiles talking about the most astonishing or kind of troubling or whatever it happens to be. So I know it sounds a bit weird and I have to sometimes remind myself not everyone sees life in that way or has the same sorts of interests, but I just really enjoy the access to people's lives, especially when they're extreme and troubling. And, you know, the 2 weeks I spent at San Quentin prison was two of the happiest. That sounds really weird. I'm going to pull out of that sentence.
You can't say that.
Well,
happiest?
Two of the happiest. Better than my honeymoon. No, that's a joke. No, no, happiest isn't the right word, but they were two of the most pleasant work experiences.
Hey, people in Balos are listening to this in Crete going, really? Oh, this beautiful turquoise sea.
Exactly.
No, I'm San Quentin prison. Better than Balos.
Yeah, they are. It's, you know, well, you like doing your work, right?
Yes, I do.
And you get satisfaction out of it.
I do.
And even when you might be doing something that it's got a dimension to it that's rather sad or difficult. But part of it is a pleasure in being able to bring something out of that can connect with people. And when I'm on location, I feel very relaxed and there's a sort of sense of, you know, I struggle with a sort of level of ambient anxiety in my life. And you know, all the little things that you're like, is that person annoyed with me? We're going to the party. Is it going to be all right? You know, arrangements, commitments, Zoom meetings. And when you're on location and you're just immersed in a story, it's an enormously, all that pressure and anxiety sort of lifts. And you're just in this extraordinary topsy-turvy land.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm happy when I'm at San Quentin because it's a sad,
place
in many ways.
Yeah.
But in other respects, it's just life. It's just life lived in another way.
Yeah. And you are a people person. Obviously, you're interested in getting their story across. But I mean, with that LA stories was just so amazing. I love that one. And then just when you knocked on the door, the man going, get your English ass back to Britain and all that.
Yeah, yeah. And he threw the N-word at me. Take your bitch ass back to London. Beep. He was a black guy.
Well, why did he call you that?
Well, he was just using it in the term, in the street term of being like fellow human.
Yeah. now, listen, in your...
Because he'd starved his dog. He was annoyed.
Oh, that
he'd
dog.
He'd starved his dog
oh,
and God, I'd arrived God. And I said, what's going on with your dog? Why don't you feed it? And we're from the BBC, and he's like, get your bitch ass back to London.
I know, that one was so hard to watch because of the animals and stuff.
Yeah, did you find that harder to watch than the one about... Because there was another one about paedophiles and sex offenders.
Yeah, and then that woman, I did feel sorry for her, but I know you...
Well, there was a woman in it who'd been convicted of having sex with one of her pupils. The atmosphere goes thick in the room when you start talking about sex offenders because the sense of moral outrage is so obviously pregnant, is that the right term? And real and understandable that one picks one's words very carefully.
Yeah, you have to, but I mean, yeah, that's maybe that. But I mean,
there's another guy who's called Jimmy Barnum, and he's convicted of two rapes, and then he's caught taking meth at his hostel, and then the guy in charge of the hostel, who's also a sex offender, throws out Jimmy, and then Jimmy leaves with everything he owns on his back, with just a bookshelf and some clothes. And then
you
he's
still tried to talk to him. You're just like, how are you feeling? I'm like, how do you think he's feeling? He's just been thrown out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Thank you for watching that. I don't think many people watch that one. Quite dark. Dark, knotty material.
Yeah, but then I'm sort of intrigued in that kind of world, because it is a world that people don't let you see, isn't it?
It's the side of life that's going on every day, but actually, for the most part, we don't get to see on television. Yeah.
Welcome to Louis Torres. Why not spend a day at the local maximum security prison or kick back and relax at the penitentiary for young offenders? Hanging out with wrong'uns has never felt so right. Louis Torres.
Now, in the book, you take Nancy away to Brighton.
Yes.
So,
for
the hotels for you, what do you look in a hotel for?
Well, the first thing to say is I'm not brilliant at arrangements. And I find, I was talking about anxiety earlier. One of my stresses is like, how am I going to, am I going to book the right restaurant or the right hotel? And Nancy is like, she's my wife. I want to make sure she's having a birthday that she enjoys, and I don't want to fuck it up.
No.
And so it was very stressful. I remember, and I always leave things too late, and it was a week before, and I started phoning around for hotels and restaurants, and it wasn't happening. It was just after lockdown had semi-lifted, hotels had bounced back, and suddenly they were all booked up. And I went on all the websites, and it was they're never helpful. In my experience,
no.
I won't call them out, but then you go on best hotels in Brighton, luxury hotels, boutique hotels in Brighton, affordable hotel, and then none of them were available. And so finally I thought, there is that. It's the Grand, it's the famous one, isn't it? It's huge.
Right, famously,
on the seafront. And I thought, well, that hasn't turned up on any of my searches. I called them up. And they had availability. It's massive, so presumably they had rooms to spare, and my job done. Lovely. Looked at it on the website. Yeah. Fantastic. Looked
smart. Was it nice though when you got there?
Really nice. Lovely.
Because my thing with when you're booking hotels, and I hate it when you go on their website and then there'll be like a picture of a vase with some flowers in. You're like, well, I'd rather see what the room's like.
Yeah.
Like...
I love how they describe the rooms, but all the rooms have to sound amazing. But some are clearly better than others.
Yeah.
We can put you in the Admiral's room with a deluxe. Mm. And then the next one, sounds even better. And you're like, well, now I'm thinking the Admiral's isn't that good. You're in the Captain's room.
Yeah.
You've got...
And then you sort of have to go on Wikipedia to see where the hierarchy is.
You have to look for the euphemistic words like cosy, because that means small.
I can trump that. I stayed in a hotel down near Plymouth. Glimpse view. See glimpse view. So basically, it was like a crack glimpse view.
Someone complained, didn't they? And they were like... It's not going down well with the punters.
Glimpse view. What a load of
blink
crap.
And you'll miss it view. Yeah.
Do you complain when you go to hotels?
What gets very you go? Very rarely.
You wind Nancy up and get her to complain.
We once stayed in a... we once booked an Airbnb outside Rye. And it was in Rye Harbour. Rye's beautiful. Rye's amazing.
Henry James House's Lamb House,
I believe it's called. Been round there a couple of times. And it's got that, you know, that lovely English, you know, old sort of narrow streets, cobblestone. You can almost imagine, like, pirates or sea admirals. And it sort of history feels very present there. Rye Harbour, not so much. Bit more industrial.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
that's
let's
fine.
Put it like that. And the house we booked, it was one of those ones where they thought, stick it on Airbnb, probably won't get any bookings. If we do, we just shove everything in a cupboard and just scarper. Mm. So that it didn't feel very cared for. Long story short, at the end, we were like, this isn't good. It's been awful. I just did the taking a bit. And so Nancy said, well, should we write something in the book? And then ended up writing, you know, lovely today. Couldn't have felt more well cared for. Because you just don't know. You can't complain in the book.
And everyone's struggling because of lockdown. You don't want to be on. But then I found, you know, like, you know, so, oh, you know, taxi drivers have had a really bad time, black cab drivers. I mean, I got one. So can you drop me off here where I live? Literally a mile away. Oh, I'm not going west, mate. I'm going east. And I'm like, I'm giving you bloody business. Yeah. So, some people haven't bounced back. Like, you know, you get told
they're not
to,
supposed to do that if their light's on, are they?
I don't, they're not.
If their light's on, they're supposed to go where...
I think it's homophobia. That's why I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
And then I saw a straight person get in. They went, west, please. Straight there.
Maybe you'd had a bad experience with Nana Muscuri.
Yeah. I was wearing my caftan.
It's funny, isn't it? Uber's been a bit funny lately. Mm. Have you noticed or not? Honestly.
I haven't been in an Uber for ages.
Uber's been funny. I'm...
They put my dog in a boot once and it pissed me off. I said, oh, would you take dogs? He went, yeah. And then Bev, he went in the boot. I said, get me dog out the boot.
Really? Was it a covered boot or just sort of the back of the car?
No, it was like, you know, when you kick that people. No, no. In movies when you kidnap people. Yeah, like my Bev, she's an elderly Irish setter, 12. Yeah. She does not do boots.
No.
You sit on my lap in the back, but it pissed me off. Yeah. In the boot. I thought, no, no, no. So we try and get a black cab.
Black cab all the way.
Now, have you ever gone on holiday with someone famous?
Ooh.
Now, I list you speaking to your cousin, Justin.
Well, that would count, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah. Now, is that holiday in Cape Cod, throwing stones?
Yeah, but he wasn't famous then. Although, have I been on holiday since he became famous? No, probably not. Right. But growing up, Justin Theroux...
Because what does he say? I thought his name was Theroux, but he sort of has a...
He says Theroux.
Theroux.
Yeah, there's a schism in the family.
Do you remember in that porn documentary, that man goes, hey, listen here, Mr. Thorax.
Yeah, Thorax. That's right. That's right. Yeah, Rob Black said that. Yeah. Well, just to use the name is nice. You know, pronunciation optional. With Justin, it was odd growing up because he could see he was very talented, as he still is, but hyperactive and very, very impulsive. Poor impulse control is the phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would... The incident that I recalled was that he once on holiday, he'd brought a friend called Adam, and on day two of the holiday... They'd fallen out. It was clear, like, they just, having thought they were friends, they arrived and he was like, you know what? I don't think I like this guy.
Oh, no.
They were both from Washington, D.C. We were holidaying on Cape Cod and they were both wore these shell suits and they were heavily into body popping. That's not the point of the story. That's just some colour. But on, like, they got into a fight on the beach and began throwing rocks at each other. And I thought, hang on, this can't be good. Surely this won't end well. And sure enough, Justin, and they weren't, they're sort of like not hen's egg, but maybe robin's egg sized rocks. Mm. And Justin landed one right on Adam's head, split the skin on his skull open, had to go to hospital. And I think the part that was most upsetting wasn't that he had blood running down and gashed his head open, but was that to put the stitches in, they had to shave part of his hair off. So he had like a big bald patch and then a kind of Frankenstein scar mark with stitches on it for the rest of the holiday and couldn't shower. So going around in his little shell suit, body popping, with a big patch missing in the skull.
And hair back then when you're like
younger, it means something when you're 14, 15 years old.
Oh.
But that was, Justin had that in him. He, as he said to me when I talked to him about it, I threw a lot of rocks. Yeah. I threw a lot of rock. It turned out that he said he once saw a car go by and he saw a rock. And before he even knew what he was doing, he chucked a rock.
Oh.
I don't think he does it anymore.
Isn't that weird? What a weird habit to have.
But so, no, famous people on holiday, that would be, yeah.
Now, to see if you can top this story. Michael McIntyre was in Puglia and then Madonna came in riding a horse in the courtyard.
Come on.
Have you ever had anything like that? Have you ever had a celebrity come in? You go, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's Cher. Oh, no, it's Elton John.
I remember when I was in my early 20s, I went to a club and Ice-T was there.
Oh, Ice-T.
And that was when, for me, spotting a rapper as a fan of rap really meant something. And I thought, will I? Go on, I'll do it. And I went up to him and I just said, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan. And he said, this isn't much of an anecdote, thank you very much.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, when you realise, it's a bit, until then, the only celebrity encounter I'd had really was seeing Paul Weller walking down Oxford Street and not saying anything to him. So, from that to Ice-T saying thank you very much.
Well, that is, that's a big lovely step. Someone told me an anecdote. I mean, this is a sort of the same kind of excitement. But I mean, he was like a big Gene Wilder fan and he was doing a book signing. And then he whipped out a DVD of The Woman in Red and he went, I'm not signing videos. But when you really love someone, it becomes something. I mean, he wasn't rude, just like, I'm not signing
Fair
DVDs.
Enough. Sometimes I'm at a book signing and someone brings out a photo. Or more, or it'll be like a programme for the event. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're like, well, no, bother, I've not seen it.
Or sometimes people have a book by someone else. They just come to you, will you sign this book? And I'm like, but I didn't write that book. And they're like, no, but I'd love to get your signature.
I'm not Ruth Rendell.
Yeah. And it's a bit odd. But I'd sign anything.
Yes.
I had some women once come up to me.
I signed a Femme Fresh once.
I don't even know what that is.
The Downstairs Ladies thing. It was in the packet. She went, oh, Alan, I've got nothing. I've got no paper. And then she rummaged in her handbag. And then she brought it out. Oh, can you sign me Femme Fresh?
So you did it. You signed it.
Yeah, I signed anything, love. I signed a woman's arm. And then she came to the show the next day and she'd made it into a tattoo.
Now you're talking.
But I wish it was like me, Russia, a bit like, you know, your book, like what you did. It's sort of a bit like that. I wish I'd done a bit more of a dramatic A. I didn't know it was going to be a tattoo. She went, sign me arm.
If you had to get a tattoo of someone's face on you, someone living.
Yeah. Debbie McGee. And I'd have the post-it note tattooed as well with the arrow.
There we go. I was at a signing when I did my first book. When I did my first book, which I'm not trying to plug, but it's called
The Call of the Weird.
I can't remember my own book title. The Call of the Weird. Two women turned up at a signing in Oxford and got their breasts out and said, will you sign these?
Oh, no.
I was quite shocked. I thought I could roll with anything, but I was flustered. But I did it. And then, a bit like you, they said, that's not your real signature. Like, they didn't think I'd given it enough.
Yeah.
But it's hard to sign...
Was it with a biro? Because that's going to hurt. And especially if you've got to, like, lick the tip just to get the ink out.
It was like a really hard pencil, like a 4H.
Oh, no, that's like mutilation. No,
4H, is that the hard one?
So who has a pencil for a
signature? No, it was. It was a Sharpie. But even with a Sharpie, it was like, I was like, oh, there you go. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And then, that's not your real signature. Do it a bit better.
When you're signing the tip.
But also, Little Pine was thrilled and thinking like, oh my God, this is how it's going to be. I'm like, you're a rock star.
Pretty rock and roll.
Never happened again.
And seriously, when you're signing a tip, is it a bit like when you've got to sign a T-shirt? Do you have to sort of pull the tip, stretch it so it's quite tight?
You take it by the nipple. Firmly.
Along that note. We are about to land in Idra. Can the topless man in row C please put some clothes on? Thank you. Honeymoon suite or hammock?
Oh, I think I'd go honeymoon suite, only because I'm being very literal. I think the hammock might be bad for my back.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And full English or full moon party?
I would go... I think full moon party, like on holiday.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you cut loose, have fun. And actually, breakfast, you know, you stay in hotels now, and they sometimes throw in a really big breakfast.
Yeah.
And you almost feel like, I'm not even that hungry, but I've got to eat it because it's part of the package. You're like, this is the last thing I feel
I never
like.
Understand why don't you have a pastry first, help yourself off the buffet, and then get something cooked. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's still a lot. Where's
I'm done.
From?
I don't need anything else.
No.
Yeah.
Give me a croissant, I'm good
just
to go.
Just a croissant, pan de chocolat.
Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart, ready to go.
I can't go with a Pop-Tart.
They're too hot inside, if we're honest. First aid kit or first aid shit? I've only
I don't even know what that means.
No, no one does. But it's like, will you have insurance? Will you have a little first aid kit with maybe plasters, mozzie guard?
Maybe, but what's a first aid shit?
Well, it's just because it rhymes with kit, isn't it? It's like yes or no, isn't it?
Oh, so it's not really an option.
No, there's not like a I'll shit go with in first, a first
I'll
aid.
I'll go for a first aid shit because I'd like to know what it feels like doing a first aid shit. Count
Stop
me.
Stop undermining my podcast. I don't come on Grounded and try and pull that apart. Culture Vulture or Beach Babe? Will you go round the Louvre? Will you check out a local museum? Or I'll just sit on the beach?
You know, I'd go probably Culture Vulture. If it's a family holiday, obviously you're going to go beach. But it's not my idea of an amazing time, just sort of broiling on the seafront. I do like, you know, I like, you go to Italy or France and you, these little sort of Mediterranean villages or, you know what I mean? And you're fine, nice food, not too expensive. But that's not really culture, is it?
No, but that's interesting because Florence is an open-air museum, isn't it? You probably learn more from that than just wandering the streets, especially Rome and like some of those cute little French towns.
And Harnia, not to keep banging on about, is the same way in Crete. You got so much history there and as a sort of the feeling of the texture of all those hundreds of years of civilizations coming and going, you know, as part of the Venetian Empire. It was, I think, on the edge of the Ottoman Empire.
They've been invaded by everyone.
Yeah, there's a bit, and everyone's left a mark, and the accretion of different, you know, cultures, aesthetics, the beauty of the buildings, dilapidated. I love all of that sort of fabric. Nothing too perfect and clean. Just that kind of still lived in, and you just end up going into a restaurant or strolling on the seafront becomes actually part of the experience, a cultural experience.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem with culture because you sort of think it's like a museum.
You lock it in a box, you stick it in behind a wall, behind, you know, and actually it's not. It's, you know, it should be lived along. I think they should maybe get rid of the museums and then just take all the pictures and everyone can have them for a few days a year. Do you know what I mean?
Really? Oh, come off of that. It's bullshit. A new Banksy appears and someone bloody throws a pot of paint over it. Can you imagine with a Rembrandt?
I
put a cup of tea on it. Oh, it's got a ring on it. What can I say? I spilt red wine up it. Oops.
I can dream, can't I?
Yeah. Well, I'd love it if we lived in a world where we could just give away all the...
Time to give your money back.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I can't find it.
There in the
downstairs
toilet.
Can't find it.
It was here somewhere. Where did I put it? Thank you so much, Louis. We're about to land. Have you enjoyed your flight?
Oh, I've loved it. That was a beautiful flight. The service was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
5 stars on Yelp.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Oh, it's so good to be back. Thank you so much. What a wonderful guest Louis Farou is. Next week, OMG, we've got Kiefer Sutherland. I hope you're enjoying these podcasts. We enjoy making them. And remember, guys, life's a bitch.